Hi, and welcome to a special edition of Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour. Tonight, I'll be your host. This is Captain Michael. I'm joined tonight by special guests Seth Kuberski of Orlando Weekly, Touring Plans, and the Intrepid Travelers Ultimate Universal Orlando something long.
Close enough.
It's a good guidebook. And also joined by Sean and Nick.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me back. You're very brave.
Well, thanks for coming back. You must enjoy punishment.
You know, I didn't listen, actually, to the actual podcast.
Neither do
but
we.
It's okay. I'm assuming that you edited out all the stuff that I told you to edit out, right?
Joe says he edited it.
See, I did listen to that episode because I wasn't on it. And Joe edited nothing out.
No, he didn't.
Oh, Joe.
I listened to it to see just how bad it was, and it was exactly the same.
I thought it was very entertaining, considering I wasn't on it, but...
It was a good show. Just had some technical difficulties, which is not unusual.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. All right, so today was a big day for Universal Orlando and for theme park fans everywhere. They finally announced, the big reveal of Diagon Alley and everything that goes along with it. All the wonderful, amazing things included. Very exciting day. They started off with a webcast that was live, for better or worse. And they had a live audience and had some questions, which were dubiously from the audience.
A dead live audience.
But it was still very cool, and everybody was very excited. And I think we're all still very excited and still riding the hype train.
I'm glowing.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just jump right on into it. Let's see. So initial thoughts on today's announcement.
Who's starting? Okay. I'll start. I got everything I wanted. You know, going into today, I figured we weren't going to get, you know, any, you know, video, whether it was pre-rendered or of inside of Gringotts. You know, what a lot of people were expecting. I knew we weren't going to get any video of what the Hogwarts Express was going to do. I wanted some art, and I wanted maybe a couple surprises that I wasn't expecting. And we got a ton of art. And I thought we got, I mean, I looked at those plans that Amusement Leaks had sent out last night, and I was pretty impressed with how many shops it looked like there was going to be. And they announced even more shops than I thought were even possible to go into the place. So I'm really excited for the Quidditch supply shop. That sounds like it's going to be cool.
Yeah, I'll jump in. I'm glad I got to see the webcast because both of my laptops started freaking out at about 5 minutes before it started. Oh. And I got it running just in time. But I love seeing Mark Woodbury on live, you know, a live presentation. He had a couple of really good flubs in there.
Opening 2010.
Yeah, I think he jumped in Doc Brown's time machine for a second there. But you know, overall, I thought it was good. I got all the concept art pretty much that I wanted to see, except of course more of Gringotts, which I'm sure will be another whole press conference later on down the road. I would have liked to have heard a more definite opening date. But other than that, they pretty much delivered everything I expected to see today.
Yeah, I think Mark Woodbury and Joe are show hosting spirit animals. Love
yeah,
you, Joe.
I will jump in. I'll say I agree that, you know, I didn't get to see the whole thing because stupid teenagers came in my classroom 15 minutes into it, and they wouldn't shut up long enough for me to listen to it. But from what I did and what I heard, I'm pleased with everything. And then even the more details that like MuggleNet has kind of come out with on that thing that Mike found, that really blew my mind. I was kind of hoping that they were going to talk a little bit, just maybe mention some of the specialty like merchandise that they might be making and the new food options. But then when Jim Hill said that they haven't even took this to JK yet that I understood why that wasn't in there. But I was really pleased. I don't see why people are disappointed in this, other than they heard it all and they expected more than, you know, what they took the rumor mill for being exactly correct, and basically the rumor mill was. So I think that's kind of what happened. But I was really pleased, really happy.
Well, I was beyond pleased. almost say that I was pretty much blown away. You know, I've been following this project since day one, when I think it was HHN rumors at the time figured out that Jaws is being demolished in late 2011. Mm-hmm. And I think later on they became park rumors. And then February 2012, Epcyclopedia stumbled upon the original layout on the Water Management District site. So I've been following it every day. And today, they still managed to surprise me. And that is saying something. And apparently we're still in for more surprises. When they did this for phase one, when they had this webcast thing, I was in class and I came in and saw everything afterwards. And today I got to watch it and experience it live. And it was pretty incredible. I really like Mark Woodbury. Despite what people may say about him, I really like him. He comes off as a likable guy to me.
Yeah.
And he seems to really be passionate about Universal Orlando.
Oh, absolutely. You know, many times I've met him, he's always been really kind and generous with his time. It just today was a lot of pressure and a lot of people. It just shows that he's human.
Yeah,
that it wasn't. They could have just done a pre-recorded thing. I'm not entirely sure why they didn't pre-record the whole thing, but it shows that it was genuinely live.
I think it was to add to the excitement. You know, something live, it's more exciting. Really couldn't tell it was live though, except for the mistakes. But he does always come off as genuinely excited, and I think he's really proud of this expansion, and he should be.
I was going to say, why wouldn't you be?
He's excited. Theory Coop is excited. All the actors are excited. And, you know, that came out, and that's what you get from a live thing. You know, it came off as a little hokey, but what else can you do, really? Uh-huh. I enjoyed it, and I think getting to see them actually go inside the train was pretty special.
Yeah, that
was cool.
And it appears that the set that they were using was a replica of what scene one is in the ride, according to Theme Park Insider, and also according to some of the concept art they showed during the webcast, which is pretty incredible in itself. Vault 722 is nice and pretty. And a nice little touch, they had a goblin in the background during the whole thing.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to be walking back and forth in the ride.
Well, that was the same goblin from the Deathly Hallows, wasn't it?
Yes, sure, Nick.
I think it was like the same face and all. Like, seriously, I think it was the same.
They all look the same.
Oh, no, they don't. He looked different because I just watched the Deathly Hallows last week. He looked different than the rest of them.
I think you're crazy, Nick.
Okay. I'm consuming an adult beverage.
Are you talking about the one at the table that gives him a hard time, or are you talking about Griphook?
Yeah, I'm talking about the one at the table who gives him a hard time, who they impero, and he takes them down on the train and all that.
Okay. Yeah. So they definitely managed to surprise me, and that's all I can really ask for. And there's still some things to come. So let's get started, I guess. First thing, I guess we'll start from outside and work our way in. Some very beautiful concept art for the London area and the embankment. Beautiful. Lots of greenery.
Yeah.
An amazing amount of greenery. I'm going to be shocked if all of that grass survives the queues.
Yeah. I love the Eros fountain. I'm excited for that. Always nice to get more water features in the parks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nice to have more green areas. It honestly looked like a park type area, which would be really nice to even go across the way, get a Duff beer, and sit back and drink and look out over the water. So.
And in concept art that they had during the webcast that didn't make it out officially, there's a side view by Grimwald Place, and there's a wrought iron fence, not rod iron, and two stone pillars with lamps on top, and seemingly there's probably one on the other side also that matches King's Cross, and it seems like they're going to be able to enclose the area when they want to or when they need to, specifically for Halloween Horror Nights. Your thoughts on that, Seth?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see that the inside of Diagon Alley used for Halloween Horror Nights for at least a few years. And I think that the crowd control is what that whole London Embankment area is about. The ability to have a bypass, which, you know, the wooden bridge you've got between Lost Continent and Jurassic Park was an okay solution to a bad problem. Right. But the whole London Embankment, the way it's been built out, is strictly about how can we keep people moving past this even when it's clogged.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Perhaps they'll have a more family-friendly Halloween event in Isles of Adventure, and they can keep those two separate. But maybe I'm just thinking too big.
I think down the road, the entertainment department would love to do that. I think the issue would probably be getting J.K. Rowling to sign off on each and everything is hard enough when we're talking about a permanent project, when you've got a seasonal project that's things only have a lead time of months instead of years. It's a lot harder getting her signature.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware, they did some things this year for the studio tour in the UK where they had some dueling classes and some Death Eaters, kind of what they're doing for the celebration this weekend, but during the Halloween season.
Yeah, I imagine that kind of prepackaged thing that she's already authorized, that maybe they could find a way to slot something like that in.
Yeah.
I'll let you know after this weekend how that stuff is and if it's worth the trouble.
Yes.
I am looking forward to my private wand lesson.
Yeah.
I wish I was going.
Yeah. All right. So going in towards the land, if you watch the animation on the website they put up, universalorlando.com/Harry Potter, there's an animation. It's really cool. And it shows London and a night bus going through London, and it stops out of Salley Cauldron. And it goes to where it enters into the land. And it kind of shows you maybe a little bit of a preview of what the brick wall effect's kind of like. Seems like there's a partition in the middle under Leicester Station. And when you go around that, I guess on either side, then that hole we saw last week cut out is going to have some spinning bricks going along the edges. And then you walk through that into Diagon Alley. Did any of y'all see that?
Yeah, it looks good.
I've been using my iPad today, so I have not been able to get into the interactive set. That's what I'm doing before bed.
I think people with computers haven't been able to get into that today, so don't feel too bad.
Yeah,
it crashed a couple times.
It didn't even work for me the first like 4 hours I tried to get into it.
I will say that that opening wall effect has always been the biggest question mark for me about the entire project. And, you know, the stories going all the way back to when Disney was courting J.K. Rowling for The Wizarding World, one of the major sticking points was her wanting every guest to experience the opening wall effect and Disney insisting that it just wasn't operationally feasible. So I think what we're going to end up with is a combination of sort of a forced perspective thing from the outside, almost like in the movie Labyrinth, where you just see a solid brick wall. But then as you get closer, you realize it's more than one layer that you can walk around. And then we'll have some sort of mechanical or projected effect for those bricks along the side. But I don't think you're going to get the opportunity to tap the wall and see the whole wall open up.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to look like if you walk, you know, right by it in front of where the entrance is, it's not going to look like an entrance, like you said. But once you get close, it'll look like an opening. And I would imagine it's probably going to be similar for whatever they do for platform 9 3/4 in King's Cross. But who knows?
Yeah.
I will say, even though it might not be the perfectly authentic solution super fans might want to see, I think it is preferable to what we were guessing it might be last week when photos of that opening first came out. It was just a jagged hole. And, mm-hmm. and I know I speculated that it could be that it was set after the Death Eaters smashed through the wall and that we're just walking through a broken wall. I'm glad that doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah. Well, seemingly the answer was staring us in the face the whole time. Even in the original plan, they have a partition right there in the middle under underground station. And that's seemingly what it is. There's a partition. I guess if you have the time, you can go tap on the bricks if you wish and then just walk around it. But the opportunity would be there. Teban kind of suggested that maybe you'd have to walk through Leicester Square, and that's why they have those ramps and stuff. But who knows what's going on in there? We still don't know. But he also had commented about how strong they were making the brick, the stone archway right there. And that's probably because now they're going to have the mechanical bricks or whatever attached to it. He said it looked like it was something load-bearing. So
I'm guessing that ramp that we saw has something to do with ADA compliance. Mm-hmm. Maybe the threshold that you step over isn't wheelchair-friendly, or maybe there's more of a grade, a slope inside Diagon Alley than we've been led to believe.
Yeah,
that's what I'm guessing that ramp is. I don't think the general public's going to use it.
Okay.
Yeah, makes sense.
It might be like one of those things too, like almost like Main Street is, how it's elevated on one end, so like Gringotts might be a little bit higher the entrance than the rest of the land, and you kind of move up a little bit, type of thing going on. Maybe, just maybe.
All right. Moving on in to Diagon Alley on your left.
We should also mention that it seems to be there's an alternate entrance. There is a side door to the Leaky Cauldron,
right.
In between King's Cross and the main entrance, but we have no idea if that will ever be used.
It is
on the blueprints as a real door.
It is?
Whether anyone will go through it.
Yeah.
When I looked at it last night, where I thought it was, it didn't seem like it was, but okay.
I'm wondering if that's maybe an entrance where you have to order food if you go through there or something, so people aren't, you know, running through the restaurant in order to get to the land.
See, I'm thinking that they might do like they do at Hogshead when it gets really busy. There's only one way into it and one way out, and they can just block that off. And then if it's not busy, you can kind of go in and do whatever you want to.
Yeah.
Or it could be solely used as VIP access when the front entrance is clogged and they need to get someone inside.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Monday, I suggested maybe it's to the bar inside Leaky Cauldron. Could just direct access to the bar.
That too.
Yeah. All right, so entering into the land, it's to your left is Leaky Cauldron, and to your right is Quality Quidditch Supplies, and a little bit further up is Weasley's Wizarding Wheezes. And apparently that's going to be a very tall store with lots of staircases. Do you think we'll be going upstairs, Seth, at any point?
ADA compliance. I don't know. I think I'm looking at that piece of art right now, and notice you see lots of people on the lower floors. You don't see anyone on the upper floors. Right. And, you know, even looking at those railings, they don't look, you know, some of the railings just look like boxes piled on the side.
Mm-hmm. And I think half the stairs don't even have railings. I think it's only on one side or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus, there seem to be fireworks exploding from the ceiling. I'm guessing that you're going to be confined to the first floor on that. But I'd love to be proven wrong. That would be awesome if you could explore multiple floors.
The one thing that makes me wonder is there's a set of emergency stairs on the back of that building. I don't know.
Could that be for performers, maybe?
I don't know.
Well, if you look at the concept art, the very top level, there's a little sign that says danger and something on there with a chain on it. So it don't look like you're going to be able to go up, but that's just looking at
the outside. I'm really interested to see how they do that. The indoor fireworks.
Yeah.
I guess maybe with like Musion, possibly. I don't know.
Muppet Vision fireworks, man.
Fiber optics, man. Fiber optics. The finest late 80s technology.
I will only approve that if we have Wizard, Statler, and Waldorf up on the third level.
Oh.
All right. As you go past Weasley's, and above you is the infamous Bridge to Nowhere.
Which, Mike's favorite part of the expansion.
Yes. I'm better with it now. It looks good in the concept art, you know, as good as it can, I guess, this big looming thing above you. And it was explained to be the train that's outside of Harry's room in the Leaky Cauldron in Prisoner of Azkaban.
One of my favorite little details about that that Jim Hill was talking about today on the Disney Dish podcast from touringplans.com. Go to iTunes and download it after you're finished listening to this one.
Yes.
Ding. Ding.
Okay. Derek has the bell.
Yeah, we don't have the bell.
Darn. is that you're going to hear the train going past, even though there is no train up there.
Right.
And you're also going to hear and see wizards in the rooms to rent above the Leaky Cauldron where Harry was staying, and be able to see little moments. That's one of my favorite things about Disneyland's Main Street. Little sound effects, little things in the windows that give a sense of life and reality. And apparently that Bridge to Nowhere is really key to creating that kind of atmosphere. So I'm all cool with the Bridge to Nowhere if it's placemaking.
Yeah, it didn't look so bad in the CGI tour of the land, so I'm okay with it now. I still think it's weird, but
a lot of things to nowhere in the expansion. A lot of yes. Stairs to nowhere, a lot of bridges to nowhere.
Yep.
So you cross to there, and then to your right is Flourish and Blotts, which is just a facade, and to your left is an archway to Nocturne Alley. And it's a big brick archway, and you look inside, and it's just pitch black.
And I'm thinking that might be the exit, not the entrance.
Yeah, I would guess that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other day, Hate to Fly said it was at the end of the street by Florian Fortescue's.
Because there's going to be nowhere to queue up to get in that right there. So,
right.
Maybe if it's like dead in the middle of January and nobody's around, they'll let you go in that way.
Right. I would imagine, yeah. Well, we're talking about when it's crowded, yeah. Mm-hmm. When there's no crowd control going on, I would assume you can go in either side. But yes. For the first 12 months, it's going to be
12 years.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to find like the slowest day of the year according to touring plans and go after it opens, whatever the slowest day is that they have at Universal Studios Florida, and just go and explore. And right. Sean can come and take his pictures that he wants to take.
Week after Thanksgiving to the week before Christmas is going to be your next best bet.
Mm-hmm. And you get your Grinchmas credits.
So continuing down the main street of Diagon, on your left is the first shop, and that's Madame Malkin's Robes. And it's basically just robes and things like that. It's like a wizard's bippity-boppity boutique.
Are they going to pull small children's hair into those really painful-looking top knots? Those are freaky.
And spray glitter on them.
They all look like little aliens.
And you go down a little bit further, and on your left is Florian Fortescue's Ice Cream Parlor, and on your right is Ollivander's Wand Shop. I'm really excited about ice cream.
Yes, yeah. I'm so excited.
The concept art talked about a few flavors. I don't remember what they were now, but there was some like bat juice, batwing juice.
And earwig.
Yeah. And peanut butter and chocolate, I remember that one.
Yeah.
And peanut butter strawberry is the one that they've had already for a while at Three Broomsticks, yeah. And I think it's pretty good.
I really like it.
And in the books, they also had a chocolate and raspberry also.
Nice.
When I was rereading,
I'm really, really hoping for a butterbeer float.
Damn it. I was saving that one up for the question.
Oh, sorry.
Now I got to think of something.
And of course, when you get to the end of the street, is Gringotts Bank in all its glory. And then apparently.
And the dragon.
Yes. Oh, the dragon.
The dragon.
Can't forget the dragon.
Cool. Mechanical fire breathing dragon.
Go ahead, Sean. Talk about your pride and joy, the dragon.
I really hated the idea of the dragon originally, but now that I know it's real, I love it so much. And now that it's apparently an animatronic, I like it even better. Because like I was kind of worried it was just going to be like this it was going to be like Optimus Prime with a dragon statue blowing fire. And if it's a freaking animatronic up there like roaring and moving around and blowing fire, I'm all for it, man. Go do it. I'm in. And it's you know what? they'll have to keep it working because Rowling will be on their ass if they don't. So
that's my only fear. I mean, we're talking outdoors in Florida. I do not want this to become the Yeti of Harry Potter.
If it wasn't a Harry Potter thing, I would be worried about that. But Rowling will be on their ass to keep it up. So,
well, I mean, I've never seen the Hippogriff not work. So,
yeah, this would probably be more crazy. But yeah, that Buckbeak works pretty well. Yeah. And I mean, he's for an outdoor animatronic, he was fairly sophisticated because usually they're just Jungle Cruise-y, have, you know, one movement, and he has a couple different movements and blinks and everything. So.
It honestly kind of pisses me off that Optimus Prime doesn't do anything.
Well, I just want the – if they can get this dragon to work, I demand Optimus Prime be an animatronic.
And, of course, to the left of Gringotts is another Stairs to Nowhere.
Yes.
And then this is like our real first big surprise of the expansion. J.K. Rowling named this cross street here – Horizont Alley.
Brilliant.
Which I'm sure the guy on DW Magic who hates puns and hates Potter because of it is just thrilled with that one.
That is a pun worthy of Cars Land, as I said earlier. That is just so well done.
And then, you know, we're presuming that the entrance to Nocturne is to your left.
Right.
That corner. Mm-hmm. And when you get into Nocturne Alley, it's going to be, yes, totally indoors, pitch black. There's a Borgin and Burks walkthrough, and they're going to sell some dark arts things. And there appears to be another storefront in there with some skulls and whatnot. And
a giant Yeti skull.
That looks really cool.
Yeah. So the question is, what is Nocturne Alley beyond a shop? There's obviously some sort of walkthrough pathway. It doesn't look terribly long, but what happens in there? And is that an attraction or is that simply a shop exit?
It's been tutored as an attraction, a walkthrough shop.
They could put some creepy stuff in there, honestly.
Yeah.
It could be like the surprise secret hit like Ollivander's was, like a spooky type thing. It could be cool.
Do you think we're looking at a Horror Night style walkthrough?
Perhaps a little bit.
I don't think it'll be that. Yeah, it'll be tamer, but it'll be it'll definitely have the creepy atmosphere and stuff like that. And like they showed like a window with like the shrunken heads in it. So maybe we'll have another, you know, interaction with them there. And then like there's a skeleton in a random like case or something. I don't know. I would imagine we'll see a lot of animated storefronts and things of that nature in there.
Like the Hand of Glory reaching out at you, trying to grab you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's where they'll put a shark skull.
There we go. That'd be good. Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. So Nocturne Alley probably surprised a lot of people today because it's something that hadn't been, widely talked about outside of, you know, basically the forums in this podcast.
Well, other than Wizarding World and Hogwarts Express, Nocturne Alley was the only other thing to trend in the United States on Twitter.
Yeah.
So that must have got a lot of people excited.
Yeah. And then some other people were confused that they thought it was to the right of the land, but no, it's inside behind Leaky and the other stores. That's really cool. Dark and gloomy. Perfect. It looks just like in the movies, like to everything else. So good job there. Going back out inside the land of the living towards Gringotts, you can see where the entrance is going to be off to the side. You can see that in the animation. And then in that little courtyard right there, there is a fountain. I don't know of what. That'll be an interesting little detail when we find out what it is. And then to the side of that fountain is Sirius Black's motorcycle, which Hagrid famously uses to bring Harry to Privet Drive in the first book and to take him away in book 7.
Can we back up just a little bit? on Horizontale, before you get to the entrance to Gringotts, that building in between the back of the train station and Gringotts, we think it's a bathroom, and do we think the magical menagerie is in there?
There's some confusion. There's a magical menagerie sign, I guess one that's either on the in the studio tour in the UK, maybe. I think that's where they got the sign from. But Gambit from OU matched the sign from the studio tour to the one on that building. So maybe it's double. Maybe it's a bathroom, and then that's also where magical menagerie is. But there seems to be some confusion about where it's at exactly. But it looked like that to me. There's some cages in the window, and the sign does match.
So what stuffed animal is everyone going to get?
maybe a cat for my girlfriend. She's a big cat person.
Nagini.
Nagini.
They should awesome. Have a, like a 6 foot long one that's just a big stuffed thing that you can wrap around your bed.
For the low, low price of $99.99.
Yeah.
All right.
They could put some interesting stuff in there, really, as far as plushes.
Yeah, and Jim kind of touched on this in the podcast for Disney Dish. There's probably going to be, you know, obviously there's going to be some effects in there, maybe some animatronic animals or and some sounds. And
what was the things in book four, the blast-ended skewers or whatever?
Skirts.
Yeah.
Those aren't legal.
That would still be cool, though.
Hagrid bred them illegally.
Yeah.
Nothing Hagrid does is legal.
No.
Somehow he's a teacher.
Yep.
Hogwarts, most dangerous place on earth.
Yes.
Harry will be safe here.
with the lowest standards for teachers.
Yep. So any thoughts on what the fountain is outside of Gringotts? Any clue?
I feel like that was in the books.
Really?
Mentioned. I think it was like brief, or maybe it was in the movie. I don't know.
Because I just reread the first three books where Diagon Alley is mentioned, and I didn't see anything like that.
Okay. Maybe they just show it in the movie real quick, but I could have swore I seen that before.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Whatever the reason, I'm all for more water features.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm sure it's something cool. Or something like the like they have inside the Forbidden Journey queue, like the Architect of Hogwarts. Or right. the first headmaster, which are things you wouldn't pick up normally just watching the movie, but it's something they managed to include in the land.
It would be
Sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
I was gonna say it'd be cool to me if they made it like the warning for the thief, whatever the yeah, like that's the warning. This is the water that will reveal all your secrets, type of thing. I don't. That's just you know, if there was something about that, but I'm sure that'll be in the ride in some way.
Yeah.
I like that they have the motorcycle there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then down that new area, that's what is that called?
All right. That's an excellent question. I've seen Carket Market. I've seen
Carket Market.
Yeah, I think it's Carket Market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which again, J.K. Rowling allegedly named. According to creative. And it's a take on...
Do you think they pay her by the letter or by the...
Oh, man.
They pay her enough already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I forget the name of the market it's based on, but it's based off that idea of some market in the UK.
Like an outdoor type of swap meet kind of setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently it's covered by a glass canopy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Wiseacre's Wizarding Equipment is, which also happens to be the exit of Gringotts, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see a Butterbeer cart over there.
Yeah, and this is where the biggest question mark is right now, exactly this what's is, over there.
Yeah. That's where they haven't really said anything about yet.
And for whatever reason, they just totally skipped it today in the webcast, but everybody they had invited yesterday to the media event learned about it and put it in all their write-ups. So.
You know what I'm guessing? Because that's where the live show that Mike Aiello is doing is going to be.
Yeah.
My guess is that show hasn't been approved yet, so they didn't want to say anything about it. But at least that's my feeling on it.
I think that's a very good guess.
Okay. You so would they know, said, Seth.
speaking of live entertainment, I ran into someone, not Mike Aiello, but another person that you'll recognize from many interactive shows, both at Disney and at Universal, and a writer and a performer. And he said they've got a whole bunch of interactive live character stuff planned, and it's a matter of approvals.
Awesome.
So I don't think you're going to hear them talk any specifics about anything like that until very late in the game, because that kind of live entertainment is always one of the last things to get approved.
Sounds good.
Okay. And, go ahead.
I was going to say, I would love to have just like random wizards that just came up to you and talked to you and tried to like I can't even think of the dude's name. The dude who stole the locket from Creature.
Mundungus Fletcher.
Yeah,
Fletcher. Like, have somebody like a Mundungus Fletcher type of character who comes up and like opens up his jacket and says, "Do you want some?" You know what I mean? Like, has all these pockets inside of his jackets with all these charms and is like, "I got charms."
Oh gosh,
I would at least love to see some like freaky evil wizards in Nocturne, but Nocturne looks like it might be tight, so I don't know if we'll have room for that.
Yes.
I think they're working on a lot of ideas very, very much along those lines. What you're not going to see, I don't think, is anyone portraying any characters directly from because that was ruled out in the first version. But they've got I know they've got a lot of things on planned and that they're working on. I was told that J.K. Rowling is not necessarily being less strict in approving stuff, but is being more open to new ideas than maybe she was the first time around, because she saw how well things turned out the first time around. So they've got a little bit more leeway to be creative with entertainment for this.
Well, that's good.
She also has a lot more free time now. She's not writing the books anymore, and she's not working on the movies, so she has a lot more time to, and she's probably excited to be coming up with new ideas again for this land.
Now she's writing a screenplay.
Yeah, and use some of the things that she came up with but never put in the books, you know, those types of things. You know, we never knew there was two other streets connected to Diagon Alley, and maybe there wasn't. But, you know, it's just an extra build out of an idea that was already cool. In the area where we think the performance is going to take place, there's a lot of different levels and stairs, according to a document that Amusement Leaks had tweeted. But that whole area is pretty much a big mystery outside of Wiseacres. And then MuggleNet alluded to a few things, like there's a Gregorovitch wine shop location there, or maybe just a window. There's a big tile that looks like the owlery, sort of. It might just be another window. There was an advertisement for a house elf assignment bureau. So some surprises remain over there, which is really cool. And
is that where Fountain of Fair Fortune or whatever was supposed to be?
Fountain of Fair Fortune's in this little alcove between Flourish and Blotts and Weasley's. If you look at the plans, there's like a little indention in the Ollivander's building, and that's where that's going from what Hate to
Do we know where Scribulous is going?
No. we think it's in the same complex where Weasley's is, just like by the exit maybe. You know, where Quidditch Supplies is by the entrance. On the other side would be Scribulous by the exit where you go outside to Wyndham.
Do you think that Quidditch and Scribulous could be connected kind of like Zonko's and Honeydukes was?
Possibly.
It could be a situation like the Owl Post and the other shop that are attached
Dervish
to...
Banks.
Dervish and Banks, thank you, that are attached to Ollivander's.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so that's pretty much covers it for Diagon Alley. Then you go over to King's Cross and you get on the train. There's not much we know about that yet. There was artwork of the platform, which looks just like it did in the movie.
First, before you get on that train, you get yourself a park-to-park ticket, because we have final incontrovertible confirmation. You must have a park-to-park ticket to get on board, period.
Yes.
Yep.
But I mean, if you didn't have a park-to-park ticket before, you guys are doing it wrong. So,
yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people at Touring Plans ask if they need a park-to-park ticket, or say that they're planning on just getting single park tickets. At Walt Disney World, I don't necessarily think park-to-park is worthwhile anymore, especially with FastPass Plus. But at Universal, just like at Disneyland, you know, if you're 10 feet away from the theme park, why not?
Yeah, or, in you this know, case, just, a train
you're walking ride. From one, yeah, or even better,
yeah. All right, so you hop on the train and you head over to Islands of Adventure, and Jim Hill alluded to the fact that there are some random ride experiences happening on the train, perhaps. Stepping it back a little bit, we saw the train on the webcast, and it looks really cool inside the compartments.
Mm-hmm. Looks like right from the movies again.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's pretty clever how they did it, where you know, you're going to board the train into a hallway, which then leads into individual compartments. So they don't only have to deal with the view, the quote unquote virtual view, out of one side, since they've got the hallway on the other side. Mm-hmm. It's a really smart way of doing it operationally.
Yes,
I'll tell you what, man, that capacity is going to be hurting. With mm-hmm. that boarding process, the way it looks, that is going to be hurting. I mean, I don't care. It's going to be awesome, but whew. Get ready to wait in line.
That's the story mm-hmm. of the entire expansion. Because I'm surprised how much they were able to pack in, and that's just going to mean less space for people to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite impressive. And then you get to Hogsmeade Station, which is something that's kind of a mashup between the station you see in Philosopher's Stone and the one you see in Order of the Phoenix. Whereas the one in Philosopher's Stone was more open and airy and villagey, and the one at Order of the Phoenix was like a little platform in the woods. So mm-hmm. it's a mashup of the two. So something completely new for us to experience that wasn't necessarily existing in the films.
I think it's interesting to note in that concept art for the station, some big trees in the background behind the train. So apparently mm-hmm. we're going to see something other than screaming riders on Dragon Challenge.
I'm skeptical.
Yeah.
That whole situation over there is interesting to me. You have the Dragon Challenge right up against it making noise, and then you have walking up to it, you see Sinbad's. So I don't know. They have their work cut out for them there.
Yeah.
In the article on IGN,
yeah,
Ivana Lynch actually talked about that. She was like, it's kind of weird going from Sinbad right into Hogsmeade. I'm just like, all right, Ivana Lynch, theme park fanatic, who knew?
She's awesome.
To be fair, I think that the new complex that they're building at the beginning of the path that takes you to the Hogsmeade station is going to help smooth that transition. And especially once they get rid of those games, my yeah. God, the, mm-hmm. the carnival barking from those games, you can hear it as soon as you step out of Hogsmeade. And it's just awful.
I can't believe they lasted as long as they did.
I can't believe that they didn't tear down Sinbad and put the train station there and be done with it.
But that wouldn't have worked out with the way the track is set up.
Yeah.
They pretty much have a straight shot now, whereas that would have made a bit of a more of a curve. So I understand why. Just Dragon Challenge throws a wrench in everything still.
So I'll say I rode both sides today for the first time in a couple months, and those close encounters with the train station are a lot of fun. It almost makes up for the not dueling.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Almost.
Yeah. All right. And then we got confirmation today that Zonko's is in fact closing, and it's going to be an expansion of Honey Dukes, which is probably much needed. And the merchandise sold at Zonko's is being moved to Weasley's Wizarding Wheezes, where it actually belongs. And presumably yep. the window displays will be going to.
Well, the window display of the dude who drank who ate the puking pastry or whatever.
Pastibles. This
is shop in the corner. So which confirms that that's going over there.
I wonder if Honeydukes is going to get any new products.
What else could they get, John?
I don't know.
Warm butterbeer.
Yeah, what do you guys think of this tea shop butterbeer, warm butterbeer rumor?
Well, obviously, it's not coming to pass here.
Yeah.
Perhaps in the future, though, if the diet, well, if the Ollivanders and Hogsmeade starts dipping, maybe they can replace
that. We still have Steve Jason said he's got new stuff coming for Leaky Cauldron. So, and I've heard that they are working on some sort of hot beverage.
Yeah.
So, or I've also heard a steaming beverage, which could be similar to, I don't know, maybe the Flaming Moe, so it doesn't necessarily have to be hot. I don't know. Oh, we lost Seth.
Uh-oh.
I mean, that the Flaming Moe is kind of the pretty much the proof of concept of something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that would be something cold, though.
Yeah.
Right, but
if you can do it with cold, you should be able to do it with warm.
What was told to me was it was a steaming beverage. They didn't necessarily say it was a hot beverage, just that it was steaming. So,
Would you describe butterbeer as frothy?
Yeah.
Okay.
The last butterbeer I had last time I was down, which was in December, I didn't like, as soon as I got it, I didn't take a drink from it. I just kind of, because I was messing in my bag. And by the time I got outside, that thing was just, the foam just kept on, like, the foam never went away. It kept on getting foam. So, I don't know if they've tweaked that, because it used to be that, you know, the foam, pretty much what you got is what you got. But it was like the foam just was constantly, it even got thicker on mine.
I've noticed that happen, like, it's kind of a luck of the draw thing. I've noticed that happen sometimes, and I've also noticed that it just dissipates after a while.
Yeah, the last one I had, it just kept growing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was neat. I was like, ah, heaven, more foam.
Seth,
I dropped out and came right back in at a very what just keeps growing? What?
I'm foam frightened.
The foam, man. Which,
sure it does.
The butterbeer foam.
Mm-hmm.
Not the fanboy foam. The butterbeer foam.
We were foaming pretty hard today, guys. and for good reason, though. I'm still smiling from today. I was still shaking at lunchtime after the webcast had been over for 2 or 3 hours. Very exciting day.
You know what the best part was? Basically everyone was all positives.
Yes.
I mean, there were some people who had to be sticks in the mud, but for the most part, you know, Universal fans, Disney fans, everybody was psyched, and that was nice to see.
I think I read one web comment saying that Disney did a better job announcing benches at Fantasmic, and that kind of made my head explode. I think that was just pure trolling, though. I have to hope.
There was some pure trolling out there, but yeah, it was mostly positive, which is cool.
I think one of the best things I saw was T-Bone on OU, who was always down on everything. He said, "I'm impossibly impressed." That's that's high praise.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, the press event that everyone and their mother except me was invited to. I communicated with a couple of people while they were there, and one of them is a very famously a pro Disney person who was just kind of blown away and said that, you know, the bar has been raised, that they really are not the kind of person who usually says nice things about Universal. And someone who's seen it all, seen all these projects, and came away just really convinced that this is a game changer for Universal, even more so than the last phase was.
Well, Jim Hill said it's the new gold standard.
Yeah.
Anything he's ever seen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was blown away.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sean.
When I saw the webcast, I was kind of, I mean, it was, I was happy. I was excited. It was what I expected. And then kind of once it started to sink in, as I read people who had, you know, been to the construction tour the day before, and I, you know, read more of the press releases, and I finally got on the interactive site, it sunk in how just massive, it seems. I guess I didn't expect it to be so big.
Yeah.
Even though it just seems like huge to me. Like, I mean, that plot of land didn't seem that big, but it looks like they put every single square inch of this place is used for something. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no wasted space. It's all there, and it's all there to entertain you. And I just think that's crazy.
Let's talk about that for a second, because the one thing that I wanted to find more about that I didn't is what the heck is going on behind Grimald Place and the whole side once you get past the facade. We've seen no concept art of what guests are going to see coming towards London Waterfront from that direction.
I hope it's not that show building.
In the foundation plans, there appears to be a berm there.
Yeah.
Waiting for that big crane to go away.
Yeah.
And that once that does, we're going to see a lot of earth moving happening very, very quickly.
Yes. And if you see, there's big concrete walls they've built over there, and the back of the buildings are concrete. So
yeah,
it seems they're just going to fill it in.
And I was going to say, even on the blueprints that Amusement leaked out last night, in between Fear Factor and there's clearly some type of a wall or something that's outlined on there. Yeah. So.
Okay. So we're at 51 minutes, which is pretty good for us. What do you want to do next? Want to take questions or?
I mean, is there anything else anyone wants to talk about?
I just want to reiterate how surprised I was about how big everything is and how much they've included. Some guy on Magic was like, "Well, we already knew all this." And quite honestly, guy, I've been following it every day, and I didn't know all of this. So you're full of it. What they've managed to do is really impressive, and I'm shocked by everything they've been able to smash in that space.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to be in there. I just can't wait.
Yeah, that's the just how much stuff is in there astounds me.
And we still don't know everything.
No, exactly. Yeah. We don't know what the whole right side is, basically.
I personally was really caught off guard by a couple of the shops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you just didn't think there was that much space.
Mm-mm.
I'm so excited for the Quidditch shop. I'm so excited for that. Fake sports teams are awesome.
They can't disappoint you. Hello? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying that it's just whenever you go in there, how you're just there. There's nothing else around. You can't see anything. You're just in Diagon Alley. They've taken a fictional place and they've made it a real place. And that's just, I mean, Hogsmeade was great, but you could still kind of see things around you. You could see out and all that. But I think when you go in there, you're going to be there. You're not going to be in another environment. It's a place. And it just blows my mind.
Anybody here?
I'm here.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's all that's important. Sean might be going. I don't know. Sean has the questions, though.
Yeah, so while we're waiting for him to go back, we've referenced a couple times Amusement Leaks.
Yes.
Who resurfaced last night with a big info dump.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, you know, there's a lot of material there. A lot of it is kind of boring infrastructure, plumbing, mm-hmm. Kind of stuff. What was your favorite sheet, or what was your favorite find combing through that?
I didn't look too closely at them, but I saved them. I didn't want to – for whatever reason, last night I decided to grow a spoiler conscience at the very end.
Too late.
Yeah. But I looked at it, you know, loosely. I really didn't see anything new. There was one that showed sort of some detail in Weasley's. But other than that, we had seen the best stuff before then. But I really didn't look that closely.
Yeah, there wasn't anything really groundbreaking in here, though it's nice to have this much stuff to go through.
Yeah.
I did like – there's a good image of scene one from Gringotts. that shows just how big some of these set pieces are going to be.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
And then I also liked there's a schematic of the Gringotts queue that gives you a good idea of how exactly these standby and express lines are going to parallel through, and exactly how the four vault open vaults that you're going to see are positioned in relationship to everything else. I thought that help was helpful for me for visualizing the queue.
Yeah. That Gringotts one with the queue, I stared at it for probably a good 30 minutes. just looking at it, and just the switchback hill that we're going to be in for that one portion of it.
Hey, as long as they have air conditioning on, unlike Disney World, I'm all right with it.
But it looks awesome. And I'm sure it's going to be like Hogwarts switchbacks, except for I'm hoping that there's no greenhouse with this one. But it looks amazing.
Yeah, and you know, now that you see how much they managed to pack into the land part of it, now it makes the ride seem that much bigger.
Also. Yeah.
The way as far as I can tell, just roughly looking at the footprint, the length of the Gringotts actual queue is about equal to the Hogwarts Castle queue. But what is the greenhouse at Hogwarts looks like it's going to be inside under air condition in Gringotts, which automatically makes it better. And then there's an extended queue that's comparable to the extended queue outside of the greenhouse, plus then some. And that looks like it's outdoors, but undercover.
Good.
Right.
You know what I noticed? There wasn't any lockers on the schematics, was there?
No.
I know that there's a reserve space for the locker. I mean, these are showing foundations and plumbing, so I don't think we necessarily see the lot. But I'm pretty sure that there is a room reserved for that.
Okay. Yeah.
There's got to be.
Yeah, it's in that little courtyard area.
I hope it's better than the Forbidden Journey ones.
Oh, good Lord.
It does not share the same entrance as the main queue.
Okay, good.
It's separate. You've got the main queue, then you've got the lockers, then you've got the exit instead of just the lockers and main queue in the same spot.
So you're saying it's more like a mummy setup where the lockers are over here, then you go get in line?
Yeah, except the lockers, instead of being outdoors, are inside.
Indoors. Okay. I like that setup better.
That's the way it looks to me. But like I said, plans are a little hard to read when they're just foundationals.
Yeah.
All right. Question time?
Yeah, we can do that.
Like the British Parliament.
All right. From Derek Bergen, friend of the show, who we asked to be on here as well, but he's recording part of the Pixie Dust tonight. Everybody should listen to that after they listen to us and Disney Dish.
Yeah. Yes. God bless him. He's going to be fighting with Brian the whole time about
this. Oh, my God. Brian was being ridiculous today, too. We've been promised several unique flavors of ice cream at Florian Fortescue's. What would you like to see?
Well, mine already got stolen. All right, I'm going to jump in here. Since I was a little kid, I've been a fan of really weird ice cream flavors, like whatever the most bizarre flavor that they have. One thing I've never seen done, I would like to see insects incorporated into an ice cream flavor, because I think it would add a nice crunch. A cricket ripple. a mealworm meringue, you know.
Well, they could easily do it with...
Make a grasshopper with actual grasshoppers.
They could do it with Honey Duke's candy.
But that wouldn't be as much fun.
Well,
Physic Whispies, I think that they should really swing for the fences with these flavors. When else are you going to get a chance to make a totally off-the-wall?
I'm going to come in here. I would like to see a Burt's Every Flavor ice cream. That you just don't know what it is, and it's like striped of all kinds of different colors, and every lick you're getting multiple different flavors of different things, and I think that would be cool.
You would have to take the gross ones out, though. Some of those were the most – I almost I almost threw up when I ate one of them. And then I never ate. I got a bag. I had like two or three good ones, and I ate one of the most disgusting things I've ever eaten in my life, and then never touched them again.
I gotta say, they're gonna have to have lots of garbage cans outside of the shop, because if they do really go all out with the flavors, they're gonna have a lot of people who take one lick and it's gonna go right in the trash.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't like one of the flavors like beer and raisin ice cream or something?
Yeah.
dark beer and raisin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just tastes like Guinness with raisins in it.
That'd be good. You ever had Guinness ice cream? Guinness ice cream's good.
Never had Guinness ice cream.
Oh, there good. You go.
Excellent.
All right. From Universal Now, our friends there, besides what's already been announced, is there anything else you guys are still hoping to see?
I'm pleased with whatever we have now. Everything else is just slan yap and gravy. It's, you know.
I'm still looking forward to whatever the live entertainment turns out to be. And I would like someday to see some sort of interactive wand technology used, but I understand the operational difficulties in pulling something like that off.
Yeah, the interactive wands would be great. Just with the crowds that this place is going to have for the first 3 years, I just don't see it. It's the same thing. I think maybe we could see that in Hogsmeade, maybe in the next year or two before we see it. And then once it's beta tested and approved, we get it in both lands. Mm-hmm. But that's just a theory for me.
Well, that might be something that brings people back to Hogsmeade once right. Gringotts is the hot new ride.
So. Personally, I want to see fire whiskey. I didn't get it in the first one. I want to see it in here.
You know what? We haven't heard anything about a bar, and we need a bar.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a corner of the Leaky Cauldron.
Yeah.
Well, I've always wanted in the Wizarding World a bookstore that actually had like books from the Wizarding World, like real, like you could go in and get the really thick textbooks like they had, like the Hogwarts of History book, those types of books that you could, and maybe even have like a restricted section. I don't know. But I've always wanted a bookstore that actually had like Wizarding World books just for, I don't know why, but I've always wanted that.
Well, that means JK would have to write those books, Nick.
She's not doing anything. She's rich. Why not?
Mike, anything? You're good?
I'm good, man. They surpassed my expectations today. I really don't know what to expect anymore.
Yeah.
All right. From friend of the show, UOR Buzz, is there anything you really dislike about the things you've seen or heard about Diagon Alley?
The crowds.
It's going to be tight. But it'll be worth it. My only thing was the Bridge to Nowhere, and I'm okay with that now, so I've made peace with it.
I still have concerns about the dragon and the side between Grimwald and the show building.
Fair enough.
But I have faith. I have faith.
Well, more to the point, I have a problem with the area between Earthquake and King's Cross.
Oh, well, yeah. According to Hate to Fly, that is going to be a tunnel that will obscure the train from view of people in the park and will also keep light from leaking into the station. And I think there's already some metal framing that would support that.
But,
yeah,
you know, I've seen that, and you know, but the framing is behind the track. It's not in front. So it almost seems like it's just blocking backstage from when you're on the platform. But they could add something on, I guess.
There's a lot of...
Yeah, I'm going to give that a little more time to develop before I condemn it.
I've noticed a lot of differences between people who took the tour yesterday in writing. Like, MuggleNet said things that I didn't see anywhere else. And IGN said things I didn't see anywhere else. I don't know if these people just forgot, you know, they were just getting so much info dumped that some people picked up on some things and some people didn't.
I know for a fact that they were not allowed to take any photos or video.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they were forced to leave all their electronic devices behind and may have just been taking hand notes, which would explain if people weren't recording the whole thing. And it's, you know, also a matter of emphasis. Some people just, you know, depending on what they're interested in, might pick up on different things.
Right. And someone said that they, Universal was going to do their best to try to hide the train everywhere. So I don't know, you know, maybe there is stuff coming to the places where it's visible. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll start seeing all these things pretty soon. Cause you know, it's getting down to the wire now. January is almost over. Getting close.
Yeah. One thing too, you see a lot of that show building of King's Cross.
Yeah.
You can see a lot of that. So. But then again, you can see a lot of the show building of Gringotts, and I feel confident they're going to fix that somehow.
I feel better about the Gringotts side than I do about King's Cross.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think you can see King's Cross from a lot smaller of an area in the park than you can the Gringotts. Like, you can see the Gringotts building from Springfield.
Yeah, you can also see the team member parking garage from Springfield.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that little corner right there where the Hogwarts Express goes out. Yeah, you could see it plain as day. I don't know if they're seeing that from Simpsons, or I don't know where they're seeing it from, but you could see it.
It looks like it's from the Simpsons, almost like it's the queue line of the Simpsons where you go up and you can see.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
We'll see, though. They got time.
It's all about story, Sean. It's where Arthur Weasley parked his flying car.
Yeah.
Speaking of the IGN article, they mentioned some kind of Ministry of Magic photo op or portal.
They said there was a Ministry of Magic portal, and that it was mentioned that there could be more in relation to that coming or something. I don't know. I need to read the article again.
I'm guessing it's the telephone booth.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm guessing that's more of a scenic decor Easter egg than an indication of an expansion.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I would think so too, but
right.
You never know.
And we also didn't mention it earlier, but they also confirmed that there's interactive shrunken heads inside the night bus, which we had come up with 2 weeks ago or so. But that's confirmed.
I'm just going to throw this out there. I wouldn't mind seeing Fear Factor torn down for a Ministry of Magic walkthrough.
He just made a bunch of people scream.
Hallelujah.
Everybody's like breaking things because they're saying, enough Potter.
All right.
Next. I wouldn't mind just seeing Fear Factor torn down and used for Kindling.
That's true.
We have a question that we don't really need to touch on, but it's from Dave at the THA. _architect_ What's Disney thinking right now? I don't think Disney's thinking anything different than what they were thinking before.
Yeah.
I don't either.
They don't seem to care.
No. They knew it was coming. You know, nothing today was surprising to them. So they knew what they were doing. Or they think they know what they're doing, I should say.
They're just worried about selling Polynesian DVC units.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip that. That's a joke question. What would you like to see in Carket Market? I want to see either the bar or Butterbeer bar or whatever or something like that.
Maybe that's where the hopping pot will be.
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to see the goblin equivalent of a taco truck.
That would be great.
I want the Love Good tea, root tea that he made.
Stuff was awful.
Exactly. We need an awful beverage.
It's called Le Fou's Brew.
Well, that stuff is bad.
It's not that bad. It's just not very
good. It's too much. That cup just like never ends. It's just like, and you pay so much for it. I felt bad just throwing it away, so I had to drink it, but it just would never end.
The thing that bothers me is they just keep reselling the exact same drink with a different syrup on top under a different name.
Yeah. with a different sticker on the cup.
All right. Next question is from friend of the show, Peplock, our best friend of the show. He says, you guys seemed awfully disenfranchised with Disney. What could Disney announce that would make you, in parentheses, almost as excited as you were today with Universal?
It would have to be a Star Wars boutique park. A Star Wars land wouldn't even cut it. Yeah, you would have to have a small, complete Star Wars experience, like a small boutique park, because one land just wouldn't cut it. You would need a park with different planets or whatever to make it worth my while, I think.
I've really soured on the Star Wars franchise, so I'll enjoy a Star Wars, whatever they do with Star Wars, and I'll be excited for it, but it's not like, I don't know, I'm just not into it as much as I used to be. An Indiana Jones land, like a legit Indiana Jones land with a new Indiana Jones ride and a couple other things, that would get me very excited from Disney.
And I've got nothing. there's nothing in their catalog right now that jumps out to me that would – I'm a Potter fanboy, so there's nothing that jumps out to me that like, would beat Potter. So I just – and it's not that I'm saying that Disney couldn't do a great thing that I would love, because I would like a Star Wars land. I'm a Star Wars fan. I would like Indiana Jones. I'm an Indiana Jones fan. But there's nothing right now that I'm as big on as Potter, really, as far as a franchise right now, except for maybe like a Star Trek type thing. But Disney would never go after Star Trek, so that's irrelevant.
Star Wars.
No.
Yeah.
I got to say, I think Star Wars is the obvious answer, and I would love to see that. I'm going to instead say if they just gave over Hollywood Studios to Pixar, if we could get Ratatouille from Paris, the Monster's Door coaster that's been rumored for years, a Wall-E attraction and an Incredibles attraction. I don't just mean one e-ticket. I mean, Hollywood Studios needs like three or, you know, four or five big e-tickets.
Yeah.
This it really is
all its issues. But I don't need to see Cars Land. I can go to California for Cars Land, and whatever they would do here would be not as good. So, you know, I'd just like to see every major Pixar franchise get an e-ticket. That would turn me around on Disney.
I find it interesting with Disney. They have these big hits. They had a big hit with Tangled, and they had a big hit with Lion King, and they had a big hit just recently with Frozen. And yet, these big hits don't seem to get any theme park representation outside of maybe a show or a meet and greet. I find that odd.
We'll have a Frozen attraction in 20 years.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to me.
It'll be an omnimover.
Did y'all listen to not the one that came out today, but the last Disney dish that Jim Hill did, where he talked about the Fantasyland Theater where PhilharMagic is now. Mm-hmm. But he brought in about Lion King, about how whenever Lion King came out, literally like a month and a half before that, The Legend of Lion King came out and the parade came out at Disneyland. All was a big push. And you just don't see that anymore. And that's 20 years ago. And now you don't see that at all. And it's kind of, I mean, the way Frozen tested and the way it was looking, you knew Frozen was going to be a hit. I don't think anybody knew it was going to be as big as it is, but you knew it was going to be a hit. And there's no reason why they couldn't have made even a Frozen show or edited in Frozen into something somewhere in some way to promote that film or add it to the parade or something. But they don't even do the pre-parades like they used to anymore. So yeah. It's like they've lost the plot.
I'll say out in Disneyland, they added Frozen to the winter version of World of Color, which is phenomenal.
I did forget about that.
And they their meet and greet got an animatronic Olaf that talks to you while you're waiting in the 2-hour line, at least.
Mm-hmm. The thing about that, though, is I don't need that, Nick. I just need them to move faster. Like, back when they were doing those pre-parades and stuff, people weren't on the internet. Hey, people weren't seeing advertisements left and right every 5 minutes like they do now. But I need some sense of what would excite me more than anything Disney could do was a sense of not, I don't want to say desperation, but a sense of movement. There's just
urgency.
Right, urgency. That's the word. It's just so lackadaisical with everything. People were saying, you know, oh, well, you know, Disney has Avatar coming. Avatar is still 3.5 years away. Like, how excited can you be for Avatar? We still don't really know what the rides are. We know it's a Soarin' kind of thing, maybe, and we know a boat ride. But, I mean, it'll probably be good, but it's so far away that it's impossible to act like you can be excited about it.
Okay, yeah, like, Nick, this is a Potter episode. Kind of.
Oh, sorry.
We're falling down the rabbit hole here.
All right, let's go.
Next question.
There's one more. One more? Yeah, one more. Oh, where'd it go? What aspects do you think – this is from at PsySoc Disney, PSYSOC Disney. Been stuck in class all day, so just been following on Twitter. What aspects do you think will be better / worse for smaller kids?
Nocturnality be worse for smaller kids.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It will be a great first formative experience. Hogwarts Express, no height limit.
Yes.
I think we have that confirmed.
Yeah.
And they say Gringotts is more family-friendly than Journey.
They specifically said that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially who knows how much more family friendly?
I don't know. It still has a locker room. I mean, obviously, if you're, you know, your hats and bags are in danger, your small child is too. We'll have to wait and find out what the height requirement is. I'm guessing it's going to be closer to, you know, 38 to 42 inches as opposed to 44 to 52.
Or Big Thunder height then.
Yeah, exactly. Lower than the Mummy.
Right.
I enjoyed Mark Woodbury's comment where he said this one of the most technologically advanced rides they've done for them that's saying something. And I was like, yeah, you go, Mark.
Pat yourself on the back a little bit, Mark.
Yeah, it's true though.
Yeah.
As sad as this is, the best part really might be the ice cream shop.
Yeah, I think kids can enjoy the land. You know, there's stuff. There's going to be plenty to look at. There's going to be, you know, live entertainment, like Seth said. So, I mean.
A whole shop dedicated to stuffed animals.
Yeah.
I'm sure Weasley Wizard Weezes will have some sort of, like, mini shows in it. So, yeah. I mean, they might not.
The line for Ollivanders will move 3 times as fast.
Yeah. So
that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can keep going back until your kid gets picked.
Oh, I forgot about Ollivanders. Yeah, that'd be good for a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they might not like Gringotts, but I think everything else in the land will be pretty good for kids.
And all the windows, and there's all kinds of things.
Yeah, I think even like you're maybe not like you're 1 or 2 year old, but when you get into like 4 or 5, I don't think Nocturne's going to be too that intense. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be spooky.
I don't think it's going to be much worse than anything you see at like the beginning of the Haunted Mansion or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, something along those lines. So.
All right.
Let me just double check. I'm pretty sure that's it.
We had a question on WDW Magic from somebody who apparently thinks I post there. He said, question about the concept art of the train station of the at Hogsmeade Station. Weren't we led to believe that you wouldn't see the train engine from the platform? Not sure if that's artistic license or what, because in the picture it looks like you see the entire train. At so-and-so, feel free to use that question as a question for your podcast. Parentheses, loyal listener here. Well, thank you, Talking Head, for listening to our podcast and for outing me. I don't know what to make of the Hogsmeade Station. It's always confused me. The concept art, it looks like people are taking pictures with it. Uh-huh. I don't know. I think they want you to get off there as quick as possible and go inside Hogsmeade and take a picture there instead. We'll find out eventually.
Yeah, that's a big question mark for me because that's pretty much the opposite of what Hate to Fly has led us to believe the setup's going to look like.
Yeah.
So then again, I'm not entirely sure what we're looking at there? Are we looking at the train that you're actually boarding, or are we looking at something that is in... I'm not exactly sure what we're looking at there.
We're looking at the train.
We're looking at the train. I'm looking at the piece of concept art right now. But is it the train that we're actually boarding, or is that another mock-up that's there for photo-op purposes?
No, I think that's the one you're actually boarding.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what the heck's going on.
Well, I've been pondering this today. and this is just, you know, me spouting off the only thing that whatsoever makes any sense in my mind is, do you think that it's going to appear as though that the track it goes in front of the train and wraps and turns to go like back behind it, and then whenever you get on the train, of course you're going to go backwards back towards London, but it'll look as though when you're inside the station that this track will actually kind of go in front of the train and curve over towards the right like it's turning back towards the other direction?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
We'll find out in a few months, and it'll be wonderful.
Yeah, I was going to say the blueprints don't seem to indicate any sort of curve beyond the front of the end of the travel. So, not really sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Actually, Joe just tweeted us a question.
Oh no!
Long-time listener, first-time caller. What question left unanswered do you think has the most potential for being awesome? I would say the live entertainment.
If Voldemort's really going to be in the attraction.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about it being awesome, but I still want to know when this is set. You know, we know that the original Wizarding World is sometime in between book 4 and book 5. But, you know, where this happens in the timeline, it's kind of tricky because if the dragon has broken out of Gringotts, that happens at the beginning of Deathly Hallows. But if Voldemort is involved, he's destroyed at the end of the book. So if this is going to be set somewhere during the events of Deathly Hallows, we've got to explain how Hermione and maybe Harry show up taking time out of the events of the story.
My thought is this is an alternate universe.
Yeah, that's what I've always assumed too.
Well, if it does take place in book 7, all the shops will be closed because Diagon Alley was basically boarded up.
Yeah.
So
It's the presence of that dragon on top of the building that really throws all the timeline issues into question.
I just think that's a fun little thing, and they're just alluding to the fact that you're going to see a dragon in Gringotts. The ride seems like it's just a different point of view of when they go get the Horcrux.
Yeah.
And this is just a point of view we don't see in the book or the movie, where there just happen to be people...
Muggles riding with them.
We see like the aftermath, it seems, I guess, in this
Well,
ride.
See, but I think thematically that would be a real departure from what JKR authorized. You know, the Forbidden Journey ride is an adventure that uses elements from the stories, but it isn't exactly replicating any particular storyline. It's something that happens outside of the canon. Whereas taking something that's canon and inserting you into that moment, that's a little different.
Yeah, but that seems like what's happening.
Do you think it might almost be like a Liberty Square type thing where you age as you move further into the land, so it's at one point at the start and at the other end it's a different time?
That would be very clever. That's kind of what they do in Buena Vista Street California Adventure, because when you enter where Walt Disney came to California, and by the time you get to Carthay Circle, it's the premiere of Sleeping Beauty. But I don't know. They've already layered on so many levels of detail. I don't know, storytelling wise, how you would communicate that to the guest with so much other stuff already going on.
Yeah.
We'll just have to wait and see.
Yep.
Or get someone to leak.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Very exciting, but I don't know if I want to go for grand opening or wait till Horror Nights.
I just don't think I'm going to be able to
hold off that long.
Yeah, I really don't.
I will be on Potter Watch every day for soft openings, like I was back in 2010.
I'm kind of waiting on the official date. And then I might try to, like, I'm worried if I go the week before, there's not going to be any sauce because they're going to be getting it ready for, like, grand opening. But mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm hearing the week before Memorial Day.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you like this. As soon as Seth said that he gets into the land and it's open for everybody, I'm getting in my car and I'm driving down.
Follow me on Twitter at SKUBERSKY. And when I see him hearing before Memorial Day, that's what I'm hearing for maybe the first employees getting in there.
Right, yeah.
That doesn't mean guests.
Yeah. If they're, you know, if the whole, you know, Power Pass blackout dates and Cabana Bay rates shooting up is the date it ends up being, I was considering coming the week before that just to maybe give it a shot.
Yeah, I'd say that last, if a grand opening is around the 14th or so of June, which is what we're kind of guessing, I would say that whole week leading up to it is going to be packed with media. And I mean, the last time it was like 4 days solid leading up to it, in which
right.
no one was getting in there who wasn't a media or VIP. So you probably have a better shot 2 weeks before than you do the week before.
Okay. Yeah,
and you pretty much have to stay at a hotel, right? Wasn't that how that worked?
There was a first, around Memorial Day weekend, there was a hotel package that certain people booked that promised them that if it opened that they would get in. And then it became a matter of, you know, annual pass holders just hanging around the gates. And when they let in the hotel people, they would let in a bunch of us too.
Okay.
And then eventually it just sort of became to be like clockwork. Like every morning it would open for an hour or so, and then it was 2 hours. It'll start being open for very brief windows of time. Like there was a point where it would be like 15 minutes worth of, if you're here, you get in and then you're done.
Yeah.
So it'll be very sporadic and very limited, but it'll get to be a little bit more every day.
Right.
I would probably just go 4 days straight and just sit outside.
That's what I envision Seth doing every day, just going over there, getting a duff, and sitting down in front of it with his newspaper reading.
Pretty much it. That's, yeah, you got me pegged.
Well, we're all very excited. Thank you, Seth, for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks, Seth.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me back and not filing that restraining order.
That was Joe. That wasn't us.
Yes. Once again, Seth works for Touring Plans. He also writes for the Orlando Weekly, which is a periodical in Orlando. And he is the co-author of which book, Seth?
Universal Orlando 2014, the ultimate guide to the ultimate theme park adventure with Kelly Monahan, available on Amazon. Ding.
Yes. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at CappedMichael87 and Sean.
At Sean, SEAN underscore Huckle, HUCKEL.
And Nick?
At Mr. X, MR, capital X, underscore 381.
And you can follow Joe at Parkscope Joe and our official Twitter at Parkscope. Thank you for listening. And hopefully, if you're listening to this, that means I recorded it. So. Kungaloosh, everybody.
Kungaloosh.
Love everybody, hate everything.